the law of God and the appropriate use of the law of God for Christians is something that has been an area of confusion and even conflict among Christians for many, many years. And we shouldn't feel too bad about it, because it was also an area of confusion, of conflict for Israel itself. As we can see from the Sermon on the Mount, the Jews, even the conservative, Bible-centered Jews, had a lot of confusion about the law of God, exactly what it said, what it meant, how it was to be used, even in Jesus' day. But the Heidelberg Catechism that we just read this morning is right on about how God uses the law. And we can see this discussed by Paul himself many places, but we can certainly see it in Romans chapter 7 and also in chapter 8. Probably chapter 7 is probably the longest extended discussion of the law and its role in the New Testament. And one of the things that Paul talks about there is he talks about his own, how God used the law in his own life, leading him to faith in Christ. He says in chapter 7 that, in so many words, that there are certain parts of the law that if you don't really understand how they apply, we can, as fallen sinners, imagine that they only apply to our exterior actions. And we don't realize that they also place demands on the heart. And we know that this was one of the problems of the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day. And that's why Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, takes care to point out how you shall not murder, or you shall not commit adultery, for example, don't just apply to actions. They certainly apply to actions, but they also apply to the heart. That one can violate the commandment against murder or the commandment against adultery without taking any action whatsoever due to what is going on in our hearts. But Paul points out in Romans 7 that there's one of the commandments in the second table of the law, the one that applies to how we relate to our neighbor, that applies only to the heart. And it's the commandment against coveting. You shall not covet. Well, coveting is something that takes place completely in the heart. And Paul says that when he saw that commandment and he realized what it was saying, then he says, I died. He said, it was like the law killed me. Of course, what's really happened is Paul has simply come to terms about where the heart, the law reaches. And even though he may have his conduct outwardly so that it would meet a certain human conception of what the law would require, God used this commandment to show him that he was a sinner, that he could not perfectly keep the requirement of the law. And Paul describes how, in his own experience, it seemed like, from a certain angle, that the law was the problem. In other words, it was the law with all of these commandments that were gumming him down and putting him in quicksand and killing him. And it would seem like, from a certain perspective, if he could just get rid of the law, then all of his problems would go away. But he also shares that how that's a delusion. He said the real problem was inside me. The real problem was not the law. The real problem was inside me. And he sums it up this way. He says that the law is good and righteous and holy. And furthermore, and here's the real kicker for sinners, the law is spiritual. The law is spiritual. That's what he says. In other words, apart from the Spirit of God, you can't even begin to keep the law. And Paul said, here's the problem concerning me. He says, I'm carnal. I'm sold in bondage to sin. In other words, I am a slave to sin. Sin and death are like gravity. They're like this law out there that exercises dominion over me, whether I like it or not. And he says, that's the real problem with the law. The law is good. It's holy. It's righteous. It's spiritual. As Jesus tells us, the law is about how to love God and how to love our neighbor. That's what the law is about, the whole thing. That's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22. It's all about that. But Paul says, here's the problem. That's a spiritual thing. Loving God requires the Spirit, something we don't have. Loving our neighbor requires the Spirit, something we don't have apart from Christ. And he says that's the problem. That's why it seemed like the law was killing me. Actually, what the law is doing is just pointing out that I'm already dead. I'm dead because I am in sin. But then he points out in Romans chapter 8 that Christ has come to put all things right. And he says that Christ has come to do what the law could not do. The law could tell us how to love God, what it means to love God, and the law could tell us how to love our neighbor and what it means to love our neighbor. What the law could not do is give us the power to do it. What the law cannot do is change our hearts. What the law could not do is give us the Holy Spirit, so that now God is in us beginning to work and to will according to His will. That's what the law could not do. Paul says what the law could not do, God did. And He did it through His Son. He did it by sending His Son, born as a man, born under the law. He killed sin and death in His death. That's what He did. To what purpose? To what purpose now that we're Christians and have the Holy Spirit? To the purpose, he says, that we would now begin to, for the first time, to actually begin to keep the law in its real meaning. Not perfectly, that never happens in this life. But what it means is for the first time, we begin to love God, to actually love Him. Yes, we fall short right and left, but we begin like little children trying to draw art, you know, trying to draw something with crayons. It's not pretty at all, but we stick it on the refrigerator. And that's the way God accepts us and accepts our work in Christ. We begin for the first time to love God. We begin for the first time to love our neighbor, even just a little bit. And we begin to grow in that. And so once we are in Christ, the law is not something that's killing us anymore due to the sin that's in us. The law that is something that we can look at, number one, to know what it means to love God, what it means to love our neighbor, and also it's a mirror, says James, to show us who we really are. We can be reminded, no matter how much the Holy Spirit has done within us, we've got a long ways to go. And we need to take a good, clear look at who we are day to day so that we can continue to grow in love.